Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Father. You are worthy of all praise. Hallelujah. Yes. Anybody come to praise the Lord today? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He is worthy. He is worthy of all praise. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we worship you. We honor you. We praise you today, Lord. You alone are worthy, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. Fathers, we come before you this morning. God, we thank you for your presence. God, we're going to talk about this today, Lord. We're a church with the presence of God. God, we have the anointing of God in the house today. God, we have the anointing that will heal the blind, the ones that will take care and heal the sick, the ones that will deliver the addicted, the one that will fix the brokenness. God, we have a God of the universe, of all creation in our presence today. And God, we come to honor you because of who you are. Father, we thank you for saving us. Father, we thank you for taking the scales from our eyes and the plugs from our ears. God, we thank you that you brought us from darkness to light, from corruption to forgiveness. God, we thank you. And we praise your holy name today, Lord God. Father, we ask now that you would just stay in our midst. And God, as we do this message today, let it honor you, Father God. But most of all today, God, let it set the captive free in the name of Jesus. Father, we know that the one that needs the most help is the one that thinks they need it the least. So, God, today, as you begin to use these visual props, God, I ask that you allow people to be hit in the spirit today, God, that they would know that what they need is an encounter with you. God, I'm not talking about just the lost. God, I'm talking about the saved. God, I'm talking about the backpack of life and the luggage that we carry around and around. God, today, heal us. Deliver us and set us free from ourselves in the name of Jesus. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise before you sit down. Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited, as always, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so there's a lot going on this week, amen, like every week. And we got a lot of people traveling. We got a lot of people doing out-of-town meetings and stuff. Praise God, right? And we got folks that's in other churches sharing their testimony and singing. Man, what a blessing. And we're trying to figure the other day how many ministers that we have planted out of the 23 years of ministry here. And we counted 18, but I bet there's a whole bunch more. Amen. So remember that. Then you start thinking about the souls that God saved in this little old dilapidated church on Plum Street. And it's numbered in the thousands, thousands and thousands of people. And I was reminded as Lamar passed into eternity a couple of weeks ago, if you don't know Lamar, there's a guy sitting in a wheelchair right back there. And, you know, I remember that guy went through a lot of hell on earth. But I also remember the day that Lamar gave his life to Jesus Christ. And so, you know, it's... We're going to miss him, but someday we'll be reunited with him in heaven. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. So as we always say in the preacher world, it's not a goodbye, it's a see you later. Amen. The problem is that we need to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want to show you some stuff. I want to show you some words. I know you can't see them from there, and it's intentional, but I want to show you the word. What's that word? Corruption. Who's in the back there? Somebody in the back, read that for me. Corruption. Sickness, something that won't resonate with nobody here. Addiction, okay. And that's not just drugs and alcohol. Sometimes you're addicted to yourself. Lost. Well, if that wasn't enough, my prop team just went ahead and kept putting it on me. Broke. Oh, here, let me review. Broken mess. I'm talking to you, ain't I? Oh, wait, one more. In my opinion, all these today is going to give you something. It's going to give you spiritual sight. So we always say we're lost, but now we see it. We're lost but found, right? We're blind, but we see it. We was down, but now we see we weren't supposed to be down. And I kind of share this with you. It's not part of my sermon. This last night, I forget her name every time. That's the enemy. Melissa. Melissa, we had to bind those demons up off that girl in recovery in our Saturday night service last week. It was ugly. It was so powerful that the lady that was working had knocked her out of the room. And so that's how powerful it was. And I'm going to tell you who did it. I'm going to go ahead and give you the names, okay, so you can pick on them. They bind the devils up. It was Bree and Jana. It was Bree and Jana. And then, you know, I'm standing behind them, but the whole attack wasn't against them. That practicing witch was trying to cast a spell on me. And so the whole time I'm binding and rebuking, and I didn't know they could even hear me. We was praising the Lord. And I was praising the Lord and singing. They said, "Whoa, Pastor, it's like I stood up on our back, man." We began to feel the hair on the back of our neck. All of a sudden, we felt the enemy was in the presence, but we knew that you was commanding God into it. And I want you to know this morning, that's what this message is about, commanding God so you can have the spiritual sight that you need. You was blind, but now you see. You was lost, but now you're found. You was down, but you was never counted out. Yes, and you've made mistakes, but you're not a mistake. You hear what I'm saying to you this morning? Listen, we believe this at my church. And I think what's so good about it is that no matter what happens, we don't never quit loving you. And I was just been sharing with some of my leaders. I said, "You ain't going to believe all the pastors coming back to me the last 2 weeks." They said, "The past?" I said, "Yeah, I got it. This guy, this couple, this girl, this people keep coming back." And one of them said, "Man, I thank God you taught me about spiritual warfare. I moved to another church, but man, they don't even teach about it. I don't know what would happen to me." I said, "That's all we need to talk about, spiritual warfare. Once you're born again, it's time to fist fight." Yeah. Amen? So this message this morning is going to allow us to think about some of these byproducts that the enemy's put on us, and we begin to wonder, what is it that God wants out of you and I? But if you look at the title of the message this morning, and I know you can see it from out there, it's telling what we need to do is remove the roof. We need to remove the roof. Now, some of you call it roof, all right? So that means you're from up north. So we're from down south. And down south, it's a roof. All right, so if north or south, east or west, you decide every how you want to say it. So how do you pronounce it properly? Go. Roof. That sounds like a dog to me. Roof, roof, roof. I'm going to tear the roof off today. But never matter how you say it, the thing is, a roof is always a solid part. It's a covering. Sometimes it's going to be a hindrance in your life, but you think it's not real. That's a real roof, okay? And it was orchestrated and built by a construction company, me. And so... But I built this yesterday just because God gave me insight and God began to show me you. I had the message and I began to tool the message. And I said, "God, what do you want me to do?" And he began to show me. And so I'm going to apologize for the people that's going to be caught up here today. I'm going to apologize. Because in my opinion, from what God told me, they're going to become very undignified today. I think it's time for us to become undignified. I believe it's time for us to move from praise to worship. I believe we need to start celebrating who he is because of who he is. Not because of what he's done for us, not what he always does for us, but we need to begin to worship God in this chapel. Listen, if you begin to worship God, if you begin to adore him, not for what he can do for you, but what he's already done because of who he is. He's the only one that could have did it. He's the only one that did do it. And he's the only one that keeps coming back to you in your dark moments and your worst decisions. But let's worship God for who he is. Now we set the stage. I want you to come into this message with this thing called high expectations, which is a real strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. And I'm telling you today, I'm speaking to someone who come in here today and is having a hard time putting their arm up praising God. There might have been a trial. You might have come from some more pain or hurt, but God says, "I'm about to move you into a new dimension." And I'm telling you today, if you come with a high expectation, God will meet you right where you're at. He don't need you to perform nothing. He needs you to surrender you to him. When you begin to get yourself out of the way, it doesn't matter what the byproducts of life has called you and labeled you. What has God called you? Beautifully, wonderfully made, powerful, to the pulling down of strongholds. Stronger is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You hear what I'm saying? If you ever get hold of that, they don't want you nowhere around them. Because you walk in, they'd be going, "And what's your name again, Melissa?" She was in the celebration last night, and I walked by the room. I'm walking by, and she's going, looking at me. At the end of it, she said, "Can I get one of them Celebrate Bible, Recovery Bibles?" I said, "Yep." Devil ain't going to ask for no Bible. She got a bracelet on now. What's that bracelet? Romans Road to Salvation. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You know what I'm saying? So God is doing some things, but it comes with an expectation. Last night, we said this. We had a lot of people from church go, but they had this meeting before us, and it's really interruptive. And it's really something that angers us in spirit. I said, "Let's just let God work. Let's let God work." And we went down there. We tore some things up. We bound some things up. It was the best meeting we've had in a long time. Do you know who's in you and who's before you? It's God. And last night, I was guessing there's 10 to 14 people that gave their life to Christ last night.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes. Oh, yes. Wow. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, I use that as an example because what's our expectation? I'm saved. I've been delivered. I've been healed of drugs. I've got my sight back. I've been healed and set free. I ain't too worried about that. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. Come on. I got to go eat lunch. Yeah. Somehow we get sidetracked and our expectations become really low. I want you to put your mind in a state of anticipation this morning. I fully believe that God is going to work a work in our midst this morning. I have come to cause you to exercise your faith. Now, we know all about exercise, and what exercise means to us is if we do not exercise, then we become slow, fat, lazy in the natural sense. That's a poster child of me. Okay, if we do not exercise, however, in the spiritual realm of faith, then we can become very weak and ineffective as Christians. I got everything I need, but that's not why God saved you. God saved you to take this message of hope and salvation to the ends of the earth. Can you say amen? We need to exercise. We need to move forward what God has for us. Exercise your faith today. Stretch out of the comfort zone of your current expectation and begin to move into a direction, into the operation of God's power in your life. Begin to allow God to do something that you know without a shadow of a doubt that you absolutely cannot do. I fear doing it, don't want to do it, but God, if you send me, here am I. Let all your worries and cares sweat away this morning. Everybody think about Richard Simmons now. Now get that out of your head. We are exercising our faith, not that demon, amen. So listen, in Mark chapter 2, I want to share this with you this morning briefly. I want to get to this point. I'm going to read the scripture to you because it's so beautiful how God's got to put together for us here. But in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, as I share this with you this morning, Jesus forgives and heals a paralytic man. Now, I out of my spirit one day, inside of Ethan's, when we had like 40 people in service, it's like there's a lot of whining. And I finally stood up, and I don't ever preach here. Everybody gets testimonies, and we share the word. But I stood up, and I at the end of this, I said, "Pick up your mat and walk," to all the addicted people. And that went through there, whoo, like fire. And they said, "My God, what's wrong with me? I'm stuck. I need to be told, pick up my mat. I got all the counselors. I got people loving me, people providing for me, people helping me, but I'm staying stuck." And sometimes you got to tell people, pick up your mat. This is what's happening here. Can you say amen? Amen. And what we hear in the scripture, Jesus has the authority to forgive sin, and that faith is crucial. Jesus will forgive. He has the authority to forgive mine and your sin, and sin is still sin, no matter how bad you think it is or how you compartmentalize. I got healed, and God forgive me of this sin, but he can't forgive me of this sin. I showed him to you, right? Listen, faith is critical, and it is crucial. Let me read this scripture to you. In verse 1, I'm going to start and read through 12. "And again, he entered Capernaum, and after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house." Everybody say, "He's in the house." Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer no room. Say, no room. No room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Verse 3 says, then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. For my faithful friend. Yeah, you know, the one to tell you the truth. What you need to hear, not what you want to hear. In verse 4 says, and when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. Or the, what did you guys call it? Roof. They uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic that they had lowered through the destroyed roof, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their heart, there's no way, right? Doubters are always going to be around. Why does this man speak blasphemy like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Verse number 8, but immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Pause. When he delivered you and healed you and set you free and brought you from, you didn't question that. You knew it was God and nobody else. Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, and now listen to this in verse 11, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Action. Verse number 12, immediately. Quit wallowing around in what you think you're waiting on and take it. Here we go. Immediately he arose, took up his bed, and he went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Now, when you hear this, I want you to assign you to it right now, because that's what's going on. I ain't never seen nothing like that. I ain't never, ever in my life seen nothing like it. I know what she was, he was, they was. But I cannot believe that you changed. How in the world did you change? You guys already got the answer. What is it? But God. I have no idea how I changed. I don't know how he washed my mind. I don't know how he cleansed me from the inside out. I don't know how he took me from darkness and began to allow me to have light. I don't know how he took me from the smoke and stench of hell and raised me up and placed my feet on a rock. I don't know how he did it, but I know one thing. He raised me up and he healed me and he set me free, and I'm not who I used to be. Glory! Woo! Look at that. True healing. Everybody say true healing. True healing. Listen, it's going to come. True healing involves spiritual and physical wholeness. How did I go around the same tree, hit my head on the same branch, getting the same knot, and how did I keep doing the same old thing? I know to do what's right, but I always choose wrong. How's that happen? It's a spiritual warfare. That's simple, right? Listen, when you get inside of your soul that you are not a mistake, you are not an addict, you are not broken, you are not whatever you keep putting on you, when you begin to know that you've been endued with power from on high, you begin to know no matter what weapons form against you, they will not prosper in Jesus' name. Woo. But the true healing involves spiritual and physical wholeness. Jesus can address both. That's what we're here for this morning. But there are some truths that can be gleaned from this passage of Scripture. There are some important points that need to be mentioned from this passage of Scripture as we move forward. There's an example, if you will, maybe a template here this morning in the Scripture that we can learn from and begin to apply. Everybody say application. We can begin to apply it to our lives and the situations that's before us. Let's look at verse 1. Jesus was in the house. The problem in North America today is Jesus ain't in too many of the houses of God today. This is something we're trying to address in our county right now. There's a lot of fake banners. There's a lot of things that's out there that don't have Jesus in them, amen. Now listen, his word is the truth, and what he said, it's never changed. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus was in the house in verse 1, and again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Now what's happening? The stage is being set. When we go into Ethan's, the stage is being set. You hear what McKinley Hall shows up here? The stage is being set. Safe Harbor shows up? Stage is being set. We go to the post office and I walk in and they're out there with a counterfeit religion and they get me a chair. The stage is being set. Yeah, they said, I hate that guy, this, that guy, that. And then all of a sudden they said, hey, what's that really mean anyway? I said, well, let me tell you what it means, because God is love. Amen. Let me keep going here. Everybody still with me? Yes. The stage was being set right here in verse 1 for dramatic, powerful events to follow. Man, I want to beep on that pulpit. Do you understand that you was the dramatic, you was the powerful event that took place? That all hell had you? That the devil had you sucked in and sold out, but all of a sudden God says, now I'm setting the stage. He said, what you're going to do is I'm going to give you a comeback. You know why? All I had to do is say, in the name of Jesus, whoop, there it is. How'd I do that? The name of Jesus. Listen, let's keep going here. It says, Jesus entered into the city of Capernaum. This was the hometown of Simon Peter, which we know. It is more than likely that it was the house that Jesus went to. Hey, follow me here. Jesus goes to the house of a believer. What? Jesus, I want you to come on over. But I'm full of hatred, racism. I'm full of addiction. I'm full of... And he said, I ain't coming over there. You just keep on being a fool. I'm going to come to the one that is my disciple, the one that's following me, the one that's not perfection but progression, the one that's doing what I tell them to do, the one that's changing, the one that wants more of me and less of them. You hear what I'm saying to you? Okay, let's keep going. Peter was Jesus' disciple. He followed Jesus everywhere he went. So when they came to Peter's house, Jesus went inside. Have you ever had Jesus in your house? Yes, it's great, isn't it? We know it is. If you want Jesus in your house, you've got to be a believer. You've got to follow Jesus. There's no other way. Jesus doesn't just go to anybody's old house, amen? So if you've invited sin into your camp, if you've invited sin into your house, don't be fooling yourself as a believer that God's going to show up in the form of Jesus Christ. He's going to tell you you're wrong, and if he shows up, I'm coming to rebuke you, and I'm trying to get you back on the right path. I want you to follow my word. So then we do that, right? There comes Jesus. Peter, you denied me. How do you deny me? In your actions. Everybody still with me? Nobody man throwing nothing yet. We're working now. Jesus doesn't just go to anybody's house. I'm sure there were nicer homes, okay? I'm sure of that in Capernaum. There undoubtedly were richer people there than Peter. Jesus didn't go to any of their houses, though. He went to the house of his follower. It doesn't matter how much money you got. Listen to what I'm telling you. This is what we strive for in our lives. I want to be more money. I want to be more famous. I want a better position in my society. That does not hold nothing to God. The only thing that matters is, do you have Jesus in your house? Church, the most important thing, in my opinion, is that do we have Jesus in this house? Do we have Jesus in this house? I would say probably so. As you feel his presence. And we got people coming from West Liberty, Urbana, Dayton, Xenia, London. You know what I'm saying? You know why? Because we have something. We have something. We will not allow the counterfeit here. We will not allow it in your life. We'll go and we'll meet you right where you're at. We'll drag you right back out of hell every time you make that decision. We will never, ever quit loving you. And we will preach the unadulterated truth from the front of the Bible to the back of the Bible. We will not sacrifice the truth. And that's why you feel the presence of God here. Listen, we already know we're not the biggest church, but I was asked this in a meeting one time in Columbus with a group of pastors. We're not the biggest or best known program filled church in the world. But let me tell you, they said, how many people, and they're very awesome guys. They said, how many, you got about 10,000 people? I said, maybe 100. They said, what? We listen to you because all you see online is me. And I said, what you talking about? And they said, you got thousands, don't you? I said, oh, I said, we got thousands. They're everywhere. What we did is we led them to Christ and dispersed them. So now that throughout all the way, he said, that's the model of Jesus. I said, yeah. They said, well, just ask this in the pastor's meeting. Hey, you guys going to expand because we run out of room. I said, no. Why not? I said, because when they get trained up, they need to go. Yeah. What? I said, yeah, go into all the world to preach the good news. It's not here. That doesn't mean you don't stay here. That means that God's redirecting your purpose. And what God's doing, so what the enemy intended for bad, God said, I'm going to use that. You hear what I'm saying? Let me keep going here. We're not that important. That's not just important because we've got Jesus in the house, and that's what's important. Amen? The second point I want to make, it was noised in that house. Can you imagine that? Verse 2 says, together. Look at this. It was noised in the house. Now, first of all, people heard that Jesus was in the house. People were interested in Jesus' teaching that day. Now, I'm going to get rid of some false, in this woke movement, this false security, these half-truths that's going on. People still want to hear the truth. You hear me? Everybody says, how do you get those people and those people to come to church? I said, tell them the truth. Well, that don't pay very many dividends. Keep your dividends. I just told you it don't matter. What matters is souls. What matters is souls. What matters, can we tell the truth? Let's keep going here. In verse number 2, immediately the man gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even to hear, unless not even near the door. You know how the door is. And he preached the word of God to them. People are still interested in hearing Jesus. Now here again, the stage in verse 2 is being set. You know what it's being set for? Yeah, I know you're up here because you're blind physically. But God opened the spiritual eyes of the soul. Now go and sin no more. The next week, go ahead and stand up and say what you said. Stand up and say what you said. Todd, what'd you say the next week? You're standing here, well, I'm trying to preach and interrupting me. What'd you say? Come on. That's how he said, I got my sight back. He said, hey! I was blind, but now I see. I don't know how it happened, but I couldn't see, and it went like this to like that. Praise Jesus. I told him I was going to pick on him today, so don't feel sorry for him. Thank you, brother. The stage was set, and it's being set today for another miracle, and it's yours. Today, you're blind to that, whatever your that is. So many people came to the house, they could not contain them. We've got to let people know that Jesus is in our house. We can't keep silent or still. We've got to be a witness and testify about how good your God is. What happens when people find out that Jesus is in the house? All of a sudden, you can't contain them any longer, and people can't get near them because sometimes we get in the way. There were so many coming in the house that the house could not contain them. If we let people know that Jesus is in my house, is in my church, is at your address, revival, real revival will follow. So many that will not be able to contain them. We can't keep silent. Jesus is in the house. Amen. Verses 3 and 4, check it out. We're talking about this paralyzed man in verses 3 and 4. And what it's telling us, we're going to break this down in these verses, is powerful and persistent faith is what's happening right before you. Do you remember when you didn't want to get delivered from addiction, but somebody loved you enough to drag you into sobriety? Despite the obstacles, despite the kicking and the screaming and the whining and complaining we was doing, someone loved us enough to get us to the foot of the cross. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic. Now, this paralytic, what's happening is his faith is being moved into action. And this morning, allow your faith to be moved into action. The paralytic who was carried by four men. In verse 4, they're talking about something so powerful. And when they could not come near him, okay, all of a sudden there's an obstacle to your faith. You all have obstacles in your faith. They uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through the roof, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Let me just tell you that what was being happening is the stage was being set for Jesus to forgive the paralytic man of his sins. He was about to remove everything that had captivated him and had kept him going for the new level. Today, God's called you to a new level. And in order to get to the new level, there's going to be some devils in the way. And a new level just simply means there's another devil. But God knew that you were strong enough to graduate from step 1 to step 2 to step 3 to step 4. And every step that you take, God says, I'm counting on you because I healed you, I delivered you, and I set you free for my purpose. Now let's notice the situation. So many people around the house that nobody else could get close to Jesus. That's how it used to be here. It was so full of righteous people. Now hear me out, and I won't hurt nobody's feelings. We got people, we started with, this is a college church when we started. And they all say, man, God moved. Many of us pastors today. But let me tell you something, we're so righteous. Man, we needed God more than anybody. But we kept drilling and doing what's right. And then I started understanding for those first 3 years, oh, God, you're sowing seed to the world. And all those pastors, those overseas missions, they're everywhere now. Hundreds come from this church. And I didn't know why. I couldn't never really figure it out. God, we're bringing them up. He says, well, I got to make room for you. I got to make room for you. I love when you come in here broken. I love when you come in here broken. I love it because I know I'm right where I'm supposed to be at. And then all of a sudden when you come in here, what do you find? The presence of God. Notice the situation. So many people was around the house that nobody else could get close to Jesus. These four guys have a friend that's a paralytic where whether he was born this way or became this way through sickness or accident, the Bible doesn't specify. They know they need to get this man to Jesus. This is why we do what we do on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's why we do it. We want to get people to the foot of the cross. We know that if we can just get them in the presence of God, God will do incredible and miraculous things. People know what they need. People know what they need. You don't never got to tell a lost person they're lost. They already knew it. You know what I'm saying? When you get desperate, you will find Jesus. Now, we've found him in the prisons. We've found him on overdoses. We've found him in financial runs. We've found him in broken marriages. We've found him when he was down and out so many times, and he never left us, and he never forsaked us. He always come and got us and raised us up and always took care of us no matter what was forming against us. Listen, we knew in 9/11 the churches were so full of people because they was desperate. And we know that after the Charlie Kirk murder, that you guys might know this, but the church is filled up again for a week or two because people was desperate. Is this the coming of Christ? Are they starting to execute the Christians now in America? Yes, they haven't stopped now. As a matter of fact, on all foreign soil where we have missionaries, they've been hung and they've been slain and they're being killed, and we don't even know about it in America anymore. They're laying their life down for Jesus Christ. They're giving their all so we can have freedom, and that's exactly what our military is doing. They're following Christ. They're moving in a direction to save your soul. They're allowing you to have freedom rights. And the enemy says, if I have the freedom of speech, I'll take it and I'll twist it and I'll turn it and I'll bind you with something that you call half-truths. And God said, I tell you that I am still in charge. So it's our children laying their lives down, fighting for our freedom, and we should honor them as a country that's God-fearing. They can't get to Jesus the ordinary way anymore, so they climb on top of the house to remove the roof. Listen, we got to reach people a different way anymore. All of a sudden, what's happening, people say, you go to Ethan's and have a service every Saturday night? Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, and I really don't have time for that nonsense. But 10 to 14 people got saved last night. You're sitting here because of Ethan's. You're sitting here because we thought outside the box. We're sitting here because you said you need to talk to my pastor. We're sitting here because we walked through the fire. We're sitting here because we said, God, here we are, use us. We're sitting here because they came against us. We're sitting here because the atheist workers said, you stay away from me. I don't believe like that. But today you sit here as a mighty warrior of Jesus Christ. God called you. He said, stand up and fight and use the word of God to do it. The obstacles were before them, and they're going to be before us. But they didn't let that stop them. And today we let it stop us. I could care less if you come in here addicted. I used to be addicted. I care less if you come here homeless. I used to be homeless. I could care less if you come in here and you say, call yourself an atheist. I used to be an atheist. What? The preacher? But when he saved me, he saved me. When he delivered me, he delivered me. When he healed me, he healed me. I don't got to depend on nobody but God now. He showed me when you don't even believe, I will show you who I am. Listen to that. These obstacles were before them. The crowd didn't part like a good, loving Christian church and let them just come in to see Jesus. So they made their own way. This is what I'm telling you this morning. Make your own way. If there's an obstacle to your faith, begin to beat it up before it beats you up. They took the roof off the house. There had to be part of their minds that was saying, this is crazy. This is going to be expensive. This is not going to work. But they took the roof off. Now, somebody said, I wonder how much he get for all that. I wonder if he got it at Home Depot or Lowe's. Certainly, he ain't going to tear something up that looks that nice. Yeah, I'm going to beat it. I'm going to tear it up. And I'm telling you today, you're going to see people that is bound up and by everything that the world has to offer. You're going to watch them tear something up today. And the ones that sits in their seat and thinks, I don't need that. Well, you can come and tear some stuff off too, because it's time to remove the roof. Can you say amen? It's time for us to be real because God already knows. Listen to me. Let me keep going here. Take the roof off. A roof is a metaphor, listen to this, for a limit. Quit limiting yourself. Well, I'm saved. I'm good. But the devil beating the brakes off of me every day. In the business world, when you have advanced as far as you're going to go, they say you've reached the ceiling. In some cases, with prejudice and sexism, they describe it as a glass ceiling. This is your limit. You can't go beyond this. No matter how hard you work, how qualified you may feel, you have reached your limit. You've reached your ceiling. We know this really good in 2011. Our own government has a debt ceiling. And when we reached that in 2011, this is as high as we're going to allow our national debt to go. They changed it. They changed it. But the ceiling was in place for the limit of the national debt. But today it's like everything goes. Everything goes. In the aeronautics world, for some of you people that know aeronautics, listen. The ceiling is the maximum altitude that you can go in an airplane of travel. When you get to that maximum altitude, the plane engine, it doesn't work no more. It doesn't receive enough air to continue and function. The plane goes into stall and crash, and you can't recover from it, and you're dead. That's the ceiling. That's the roof. It's your limit where you can't go beyond this point. And I'm telling you today, that is not God. For you. There's no ceiling for you. But God healed you and delivered you and set you free so you can say, well, yeah, but I can't forgive them. I know that's what I'm as generational. I've always been that. Faith says to step out into the impossible. Crazy, if you want to know what it is in the Bible, is stepping out a perfectly good made boat into the middle of a storm. But faith says, I can walk on water with Jesus. And who was that? Peter. Peter the denier, right? Crazy is bringing 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed 5,000 plus people, but faith says, well, Jesus is going to have to provide. This is how we met him. The Apostle Paul put it this way, I've become a fool for Christ. Faith is in the realm of crazy. That's just a roof. That's all that is, that you need to tear off of your life and whatever's holding you back. Tear the roof off of your life by stepping into what God has called you to. He's already told you, and he doesn't recant his gifts. So why do you keep thinking, well, if this lines up, and if you line up every single galaxy, and if you do it twice, and if you do it and put a blanket over and make Sister So-and-so come out of the bathroom at 7:15 and tell me, then I'll believe it's you, Lord. Faith says no cost is too great. I'm going to tell you this. You're in a church today because God had to build my faith. In the natural sense, the destruction of the roof must have been quite costly. We're going to have to pay Peter back for tearing this roof off. But look at this. No cost is too great to receive what we need from Jesus by faith. In our lives, we face costly decisions day after day. It's time to tear the roof off of your life. It's tear the roof off of your finances through faithfulness to God. I tore my roof off of my finances years ago. My family has been faithful in tithes and offerings, and God is blessing us. We are faithful to God, so I can expect God to be faithful to me as well. When people ask you, how in the world did you put $500,000 in a dilapidated church and open it up without a congregation? I said, but God. How'd it happen? No idea. Can I give you a little bit of it? Put the roof on. And they said, God told me not to pay that $18,000 or not to charge you $18,000. He said, you can have it. All the plumbing come out of this place and froze up the first service we had. He said, well, you know what? I just got saved last week. And God told me not to charge you $6,800, so I ain't charging you. Yeah, I can give you 1,000 of those stories. It's God going before me in spite of me. It's God doing what only God can do anyway, and God getting all the glory. And today you're sitting in the house of God because of God. He didn't make no mistake when he called you and redeemed you and healed you from your grave. He began to place your feet upon a solid rock. He said, you might have been down and counted out, but he said, I counted you in. When everybody else quit, I didn't quit on you. I love you when nobody else loved you. I purposed you when you thought you didn't have no purpose. I brought you up when you was down. I don't care what everybody else said. I don't care what you say. I belong to you and you belong to me. And let's get it together and go to the new level and let's beat up the next devil. But I'm telling you today, I'm not the only one stepping out into the blessings of God this month. Those that are faithful are starting to receive the benefits of their faithfulness. Jobs are being opened up. Provision is being made. Miracles are happening all around us. Why? Because we have been faithful to God. And then I wrote these names down. If you don't like it, get over it. Because God put your name down. I put Karina. Because she's a faithful saint. I put Dylan. He loves God and is faithful to God. Fred and Sandy Schultz, they love God and they're faithful to God and God is faithful to them. Todd Fields, all the way from London, healed by Jesus' stripes, faithful to God because he said, God, I don't even believe, but you love me. David and Kelly Richwine, healed by Jesus' stripe, their marriage restored, God setting them on fire, God driving them deeper into the Word of God. Next level, next level. Fight, fight, fight. Mark and Lisa Bear, from everything they've been through to faithful servants of God. God, here am I, use me. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it hurts. I know that I aborted a child, but I know one day I will spend eternity with that child. Devil, you lose. Yes, Lord. The inheritance and bonus of faithful people that took the roof off. Faith says, I will see this through. In the natural sense, tearing the roof off is going to be hard work. There was effort. There was sweat that was involved. Maybe there were some cuts and splinters. I got them yesterday. All right, to be sure the roof did not come off too quickly. In the spiritual sense, tearing this roof off of our faith takes time. It is the daily walk with God. Prayer, fasting, Word of God, evangelism, fellowship. It is your personal prayer life. It is enduring through the trials and the hardships that the enemy sets up before you. Tear off the roof of sin today. The Bible describes the Holy Spirit as rain. And today, I've been praying for the rain. And a prophetic sister told me yesterday, she said, whoo. I said, well, she says, I perceive wind. I said, what? It's supposed to say rain. And she said, no, Sister Karen told me, she says, I don't know what's going on. She said, but God said when you walked in the room, wind. So today, I'm ready for the mighty, rushing wind. You hear what I'm saying? Are you ready for the wind today in your life? Listen, everybody still with me? The Bible describes the Holy Spirit as rain. Some people don't feel the rain of the Holy Spirit because they're under the roof of sin. They put up barriers of iniquity between them and God. And when the presence of God is moving in the service, just like right now, they sit unaffected because the roof of sin is on their life. It's time to tear the roof off today. It's time to get right with God. Faith says, I have no doubt, as the men were tearing off the roof, I'm sure they were thinking, what if this doesn't work? I'm just exposing myself. All of a sudden, doubt will begin to sneak in and try to worm its way into their minds, and they kept tearing the roof off anyway. They said, you can't get to Jesus, but our friend needs Jesus, and he needs him, or he's not going to ever walk again. I got to get him to Jesus. Your mind is going to say, what if? What if it doesn't work for me? What if I step out into witnessing and nobody listens? What if I become faithful in tithing and I end up worse than I did before? It's never happened in the history of the church. If you're obedient to God, he will always be obedient to you. What if I reach for Jesus this morning and he don't receive me? Never has happened. Look at these 3 points. The enemy will try to plant doubt and fear into your mind. He's going to try to say, you know what? I want you to, no, I'll make a mess. I ain't going to tell nobody else. Faith says, I have no doubt that God told me to tear the roof off of this sin today. As the men were tearing it off, they began to think and the enemy began to sow doubt. What your mind is going to tell you is what if. But the enemy will try to plant doubt and fear into your mind. Can you say amen? Amen. When you don't believe, you don't pull the roof off. When you don't believe. Is there anybody here today that don't believe? Very doubtful. That's how you got saved. Amen? Amen. Doubt, look at this. Doubt leads to inaction. Faith spurs us into motion. Doubt leads to, listen, I'm telling you, in action, we just don't do it. I'm too afraid to do it. But when I have faith, and great faith as that mustard seed, I become motion. But it's time to tear the roof tear the roof off of doubt today. So I've invited some friends. So when I call you up, get up here. All right, first person is going to come up is Todd. Hurry up. You're blind. You can see now. Let's go. Jonathan. Come on, Jonathan. You walked up here last time like a slug. Let's go, buddy. Run, run, run. Show him. Put this against your chest and don't share it. Against your chest. Don't share it. Let's start over because you're late. All right. We can stand up here. That's all right. Yeah, come on up. I don't spit that much. Tanya. Come on, show them how to get up here, girl. That's a girl. All right. Greg, her better half, or her other half, I'm sure said. Stevie G, keep it up against your chest. Lisa Bear, Hiram. Amen. Come on up. Come on up. As they come up, keep us up against your chest, sir. Okay, now. They brought the presence of God up here. Flip your signs over because this is who you was. This is who they was. Corruption, sickness, addicted, lost in the darkness. Broken mess, blind, anxiety and depressed. As you begin to look at this and what they're showing you something that they suffered with, but they've all overcome this. as they've all overcome these symptoms is here today. What they begin to do was they begin to believe God. What I told each and every one of these people up here is this. I want you to start raising your expectations. You're not who you used to be. It doesn't matter what the enemy's lied to you. It don't matter how long you're there. He loves you. He loves you. Now what if I step out in witnessing? Am I going to go to Bible study? Not what if I become a faithful tither, what I will be faithful and God will provide for me. Not what if I reach for Jesus today, will I receive the Holy Spirit? Not what if. Not what if I come to this altar in front of everybody else today and repent, will God heal me? Not what if I pray for my lost family, God's going to save them also? Not what if I've fallen too far for Jesus to reach me in my separation. His grace is enough for me, and they knew that. Not what if I ask Jesus for his touch today. Will I receive the need I have today? So each one of them has a paper clip. I'm going to ask you to unclip it. Unclip it, and I want you to change the signs. Go. So from anxiety to peace and hope. That's it. You got it. Hold them up. Hold them up. Hold them up. Hallelujah! So it doesn't matter what they've been through. Their testimonies have been powerful. They've been where you are, and almost every one of them has been deeper in darkness than you ever thought about, like me. Amen? But when verse 5 says, when the roof comes off, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, sons, your sins are forgiven. When Jesus saw their faith, he saw a hole in the roof. Sins were forgiven. Miracles took place. Come on, saints of God, let's tear the roof off of this building this morning. You all get to swing at it. Let's go. We'll start with you. So hold that sign up. Hold that sign up and tell them, look at this. What's it say? I tore the roof off of anxiety, and I got peace. Smack it right here. There's a hole in it. Come on down. Keep your sign up. I was blind, but now I see. Go on down. I better switch hammers. You're all right. See the devil fighting it? The devil's fighting. It's what he's doing to you. That's why I use the rubber mallet. I'm hidden, and it's coming back at me. It's time to stand up and begin to fight the enemy. It's time to tell him, you come at me, and I come at you with the power and the might of Jesus Christ. There you go. That's all you got? That's all you got? Hit it again. He can't have you no more. Yes. Come on. You guys move back. Go ahead. That's all right. Yes, Lord! Yes, Lord!
Completely healed!
Complete! Complete! Tell him!
Thank you.
The hole is in the roof. Now you got to go and you got to lower it in there and you got to begin to allow God to do what only God can do. But right now you are in the presence of God. The hole is in the roof, the separation, the chasm between your forgiving and healing lies in God Himself. Listen, this morning, listen, maybe you're going to tear the roof off for somebody else today. I fight for my kids and grandkids every day. You fight for your loved ones every single day on your knees. Can you say amen? You're tearing the roof off. The faith affected their friends. Did it affect your family? Did your faith affect your family? Has it affected your family? Is your family, we just talked about this, I better keep going. The faith affected their friends and their family, and it is affecting you. Maybe you can take someone that is going through something this morning by the hand, and like those men, bring them to Jesus. If you are ready to tear the roof off of your faith this morning, come to this altar right now. The praise team's coming up. But we're going to, first of all, as they begin to worship and praise, come on, praise team, let's go. We're going to tear some roofs off our finances. We're going to tear some roofs off of some sickness. We're going to tear some roof off of some situations. We're going to tear the roof off of the unsaved loved ones. We're going to tear the roof off of your witness so we can have revival. You're going to tear the roof off of your heart so you can finally have salvation. When you tear the roof off, you receive what you need from Jesus Christ alone. It's inside the house. It's inside the house. Does anybody need to tear the roof off today? Does anybody need to tear the roof off today? We're going to begin to sing and praise. Don't hurt yourself and hurt nobody else. But this roof needs to come off today. What needs to happen today is you need not to come up and patty cake who you are. God doesn't recant His gifts. He's telling you, come up here and listen, because you hit it with this and it goes backwards, it don't mean you can't go forward. But inside of Christ, you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. So today the choice is going to be yours. Do you want to tear the roof off? So the choice will be yours. Am I going to come up and try to tear it off, or am I going to really give it what it deserves? Now all the screws in the roof just loosened when I hit it. Do you want to be loosened before God? Do you want to hear the wind blow? Are you ready to receive what God has for you? Are you ready to quit quitting on yourself? Are you ready to quit quitting on your family that's counting on you to intercede for them? Are you ready to expose everything the enemy's tried against you? As they begin to praise, I'm going to bring the hammer over here. And I'm going to give you every opportunity that you want
Eight.
To beat on this.